I know a lot of people who are, mostly men, who were devastated, disappointed, and angry after the first week of March Madness because their brackets were destroyed. Those poor people who had put a dollar into a pool. I can't be too upset about it. I have generally better things to be disappointed and angry about than March Madness, like golf tournaments. Now, there's something worth getting excited about. Nah, not so much. I get disappointed about a lot of things, but not so much those trivial things. Maybe more like bank failures or racism or violence in our communities, or Ukraine, or climate change, American politics, COVID still with us, or that there are friends and faith members in hospitals wondering about what's next. A host of things I worry about or am disappointed by. And frankly, I think you'll understand this. I am at least occasionally disappointed with Jesus. Not for the trivial stuff. A red light camera ticket. I think I got one Friday. No, my bad. Could have stopped, didn't. Not even for things like tornadoes that happened yesterday. Those are physics and the laws of nature. No, I find myself getting frustrated and disappointed with God, Jesus, when there are things going on, and we all agree that they ought not, and yet we can't find a way out of them. We can't find an answer to chronic problems. I get disappointed when I pray for things that we agree on that would be good and they don't happen. Sometimes it's that I'm trying to figure out the next step or the right way to deal with a program or a group or a confirmation class, say. And it doesn't come. Sometimes it's that I pray that someone will benefit from the chemo or the physical, or the psychotherapy they're going through. And it doesn't happen. And like Mary and Martha in today's story, I'm frustrated and a little angry. I'm not exactly confused, because I know that stuff happens. I don't expect God to do what I want all the time. But I ask. And I know I have sometimes, often even, asked for things that I'd be better off not getting. If I wait long enough, I realize that. But like Mary and Martha, I get disappointed that Jesus seems to wait too long sometimes, or things just don't turn out the way they should. Like Lazarus coming back from the dead. He waited too long. They did not need to go through 4 days of anxiety and sadness and worry. The pain of waiting and wondering for something good to happen, it didn't have to happen that way. It didn't seem to serve any purpose. I suspect you've got plenty of examples in your own life of frustrations or anger. That things didn't go the way you'd want, so I'll just leave it there. I suspect you understand what I'm saying about being disappointed in the way that God works in the world or doesn't work, or at least the parts of it that I know and care about. I expect we understand each other. And I don't have an answer for it either. I don't know why. And probably wouldn't understand if somebody explained it to me. But I take some comfort in knowing that not only do Mary and Martha and we have had those feelings. It seems that Jesus does too. The most memorized confirmation verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The translations that we read today says, Jesus began to weep. Closer is Jesus shed tears. I can't know exactly what he felt, but clearly compassion and frustration were part of it. At things that were not going well. What comes to mind first is really kind of trivial. Last summer, I was mowing the lawn and not paying particular attention. Ran over a yellow jacket's nest and got stung by a few dozen yellow jackets. Not a huge deal. I have a pretty high pain threshold. I kept mowing. Wasn't worried about it. Pain wasn't that bad. But 6 hours later, itching. Nothing stopped it. When it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you itch and you can't stop it, after a while you are so tired and so frustrated. For me, it brought me to tears. That's trivial. But my guess is, you know, you've had times when the situation you or a loved one was in was so frustrating, and you were so powerless that, like Jesus, you were moved to tears. I am convinced that Jesus felt and feels that kind of sorrow and frustration. Hebrews puts it, we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but in all things was tempted as we are. Jesus understands and feels with us compassion, like Mary and Martha and us. Knowing that even though we know that in the end, at the resurrection, at the last day, things will be okay, when we're in the middle of it, it's frustrating and angering and disappointing. And we get angry with God. I'm pretty sure that Jesus is okay with our failings. If he can raise the dead, he can probably cope with our frustration. And I think that Jesus only asks that before we do something, before we either give up or take some rash action to fix things our way, that we sit and wait with him, like we sit and wait with someone we love who is in one of those frustrating, disappointing, powerless situations. Exactly the message of the Lazarus story today, that we wait until Jesus is ready to fix it. One more thing. It's a recapitulation, if you will, of the children's sermon. And a note about the extended reading, the irony. I missed it at first, maybe because the reading is so long and there are so many things in it. One is that this is the seventh sign in John's Gospel. They're signs, not miracles, all pointing to Jesus. It's the seventh and last sign that Jesus does, raising someone to life. And it is in that very moment that he seals his own death. The irony of bringing life, and it invites death from the authorities, religious and political. They correctly calculate that the Roman Empire is not interested in having a competing king, especially one who can raise people from the dead. The other irony I saw for the first time, Martha warns Jesus, already there is a stench right before Lazarus is gifted with new life. At the beginning, if you noticed it, and in the extended reading, Mary anoints Jesus' feet with perfume of pure nard. And it says, the fragrance of the perfume filled the house. right before Jesus heads into Jerusalem and to death. So the last point, that irony of the stench and the beauty of the perfume, waiting and watching are not easy. Frustrating, disappointing, angering. Sometimes it stinks. But when you're with God and the people God loves, sometimes the fragrance fills your life. Rest assured, Mary and Martha and Lazarus had to wait unpleasantly because God wasn't finished with them yet. Same with us. God is not finished with you or me, and especially with the people we can't stand. God is not finished with any of us. So let's be patient with them and with ourselves. Let's enjoy and use the new life that is coming. Thanks be to God.